Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhu has very nicely talked about the subject matter of gratefulness in devotional service. And he has reminded us of the tremendous benefits which we have obtained by coming to Krishna consciousness and staying Krishna consciousness. In his own unimitable way, he has also pointed out that even though we are progressing in Krishna consciousness, it seems it happens sometimes despite of us. And he gave the analogy of a person climbing a tree and making always the right choice where the tree branches into two different branches, so that finally he reaches the succulent and tasty mango of Krishna consciousness. In this way, Prithu Prabhu has greatly enlightened us about how there is good reason to be gratefulness in our spiritual life. I also will try to speak on the subject matter of gratefulness in Krishna consciousness by first talking a little bit about the gratefulness of the Lord and then about the gratefulness of the devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami gives a definition about gratefulness, which Srila Prabhupada repeats in the Nectar of Devotion. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. Actually, as you go into the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you will find that Rupa Goswami says that Krishna's gratefulness towards his devotees extends into all space and all time. And he gives two examples. First, he gives the example of Draupadi, who is away from Krishna, and in a very, very difficult situation. The Kauravas are actually trying to make a public spectacle of her by disrobing her in a very prestigious assembly. And Krishna is far away at that time. Draupadi, in her great worry and anxiety, cries out. And Draupadi reaches Krishna's ear. Although Krishna is so far away, he decides to come immediately on the spot, towards the spot, and help Draupadi in what would be called, from the mundane perspective, in a mysterious rescue action. He actually comes and supplies all the cloth on Draupadi's body, And in this way, the rascals are not successful. The point here is that Krishna is so far away, but he is so moved by Draupadi, the distance doesn't seem to be an issue for him. Later in the Mahabharata, Krishna remembers this event, and he says, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda!'" "This call for me has put me in her debt." Now Krishna talks about this indebtedness. "And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart." Krishna is becoming, as he remembers Draupadi calling out for him and him only, Krishna is becoming increasingly grateful. His gratefulness is not limited only to that one particular historic point in time. No, the gratefulness seems to increase. Srila Prabhupada comments about this. "This statement by Krishna gives evidence how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, 'Hey Krishna!
Hey Krishna!
Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!'"
Yes. Now, because Krishna is so grateful that he extends his gratefulness into all spaces, I mean, he bridges over all distances, but there is another issue of Krishna's gratefulness, that is, he remembers what we have done in the past. In other words, he remembers what we also our past. And Rupa Goswami, in order to explain this, gives the example of Jambavan, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra, who fought on behalf of Ram in the siege of Lanka. Later, when Krishna appears, that's hundreds and thousands of times years later. I believe I heard millions of years later. Krishna, the same Krishna appears. How much distant by time is Ram and Krishna's appearance, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu? Very long time. Very long time. Too long. Too much long. Krishna, the same Krishna who was a Ram, appears as Krishna. And he is really, we meet the Lord in a very difficult political situation. He is accused to be the murderer of Satyajit's son. And in order to clear his name, he goes into the forest. Finally enters a tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel, there's the same Jambavan, who fought with him against the demons in Lanka. Jambavan, now Krishna recognizes him, but Jambavan cannot, because now the Lord has a bluish complexion and not a greenish. So Krishna says to Jambavan, "Give me that jewel which you stole from Satyajit's son." Jambavan says, "Who are you to ask me for such a thing? This is very bad. My son is playing with the jewel. It's his now." Krishna says, "If you're not going to give the jewel which you stole, I will fight with you." "Well, no problem," says Jambavan. It's a very happy occasion. Finally, something is happening. And he charges at Krishna and gives him a fight for a period of 28 days, which wages back and forth. At the end, he notices, "Oh my God, only someone can fight like this. It's my Lord Rama." And he, by the Lord's mercy, perceives that Krishna is Rama. Now he is so embarrassed. "I fought with my own Lord." He offers his obeisances. Krishna is not at all disturbed. Imagine, you know, you would come into the temple and you would have a justified claim for Charanamrita, and the priest begins to fight with you and throw you against the pillar and of the temple and wrestles you on the ground, hits your head violently on the marble floor. You wouldn't see it as a very polite action on his part. Krishna, however, is not at all disturbed. He remembers his old servant's activity way in the past, a long time back, and is so pleased that this is Jambavati, so wonderful. I will accept your daughter Jambavati as my bride. It's very kind of the Lord to do like this. So this is a very important thing. Krishna knows what happens in all spaces and all times, and he is grateful according to all spaces. You know, he is coming to the devotee in every situation, wherever he may be, and he will always come in all moments of time and remember this and take care. In the verse which was so nicely quoted by Prito Prabhu, it is said that Krishna personally brings, he's so grateful that he personally brings to his devotees what they need and maintain what they have. Now someone who is a little bit new to this concept that God becomes the servant of his devotee, He may think, what type of devotees are this who want to be served by the Lord? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that for the Lord this is not at all a burden. He wants to do it. He says, I maintain the whole universe by my power. I certainly wish to bear the burden of my devotees' maintenance. It's just like a lover... A loving husband takes very voluntary care of his pleasing wife. May not be always with a displeasing wife so easily be done, but will this pleasing wife, the husband will take it. This is my job. I will do it. Don't worry. You don't have to work. I will take care. It is my honor to take care. This is how the husband reacts to a pleasing wife. In the same way, Lord Krishna likes to maintain his devotees and show his gratefulness. It's not that he has to go out of the way and that he considers it a burden. No, it is very, very nice. There is a very nice description in the Madhurya Kadambini, which you can obtain on our ISKCON book market, where Krishna expresses personally his gratefulness to the devotees. And as I read it, I was reminded really of the Sangatan devotees. Krishna sees how you distribute the books. He sees when you need to put an extra woolen cap on your head because it gets cold. He sees how you go with your cold fingers, barely protected by your handshoes, your hand gloves. He sees how you are carrying the books and what is the reaction of your spine to that increased weight. He sees how you eat only raisins and peanuts. I believe this is no longer done, but he sees your Sankirtan diet, what you take. Similarly, Krishna sees where your legs bring you after Sankirtan. Krishna sees, and he is grateful for the service rendered. He can never forget this. And in this mood, Krishna says, when he appears to his devotee, he says, oh, my dear devotee, I have seen how for my sake you have given up your family, your home. You have become a beggar for my sake. I have seen how you have been mocked by others.
And I am so grateful. I want to reward you now. But it is very difficult, Krishna says, to reward you.
I cannot give you material wealth because you do not want it. I cannot give you mystic perfections because you do not wish to have it. Nor can I give you liberation.
How can a person give grass which is fit to be eaten by a cow to a human being?
The human will not eat the grass with the same relish.
So there's nothing else for me to give to you than my own self. This is how Krishna says.
Now when the devotee hears how Krishna is so grateful for the service rendered, for the books distributed, and so on, the devotee is reacting also. He says, my dear Lord, it is not like this.
He says, I was drowning in an ocean of misery, and the crocodiles of misery came and attacked me. Then you came with your discourse and saved me. My dear Lord, and there's something which worries me. In the past, I compared your beauty with the moon, your lips with the bimba fruit. But this analogy do not do you justice. It is like a heap of burnt sesame seeds in comparison to a mountain of gold. And in this way, both the Krishna shows his gratefulness and the devotee also shows his gratefulness to Lord Krishna.
There's a moving story which I heard in relationship with George Harrison's passing away. George Harrison was a wonderful devotee who at one stage of his career was very frustrated, especially with the impossible dealings of John Lennon, the band leader. And then he came to Krishna consciousness and was so frustrated that he actually wanted to shave up and join the temple. But Srila Prabhupada forbade him, telling him that he could do more service outside as a famous musician. George Harrison expresses the time when he met Prabhupada with a little Dudley song. Here comes the song, and the sun. Here comes the sun, lulululu. Here comes the sun, lulululu. A little better than this.
Thank you very much. But it's much better than this.
So. Then he, Prabhupada, he said to him, you please continue to sing. And George was so very, very enthused that he brought out this one long playing record, living in the material world, where he didn't bring, as it is customary, released only one record, but I believe three it was. He really, his enthusiasm was very big, and he preached things in the all things must pass and messages of inner values, not to be afraid of death. He really goes out to preach, and then he put the Hare Krishna mantra into the song My Sweet Lord, which was also very well received by the people. Now, he did a lot of service. Do you know the Prabhupada never forget that? At the time when Prabhupada was in his Antya Leela, lying on his bed in Vrindavan, he turned, I believe, to Mukunda. He took his own golden ring from his hand and he said, give this to George. He gave so much service. And then after some time, Prabhupada left. So grateful to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he gave that ring. So grateful of the service rendered by this nice person who preached so nicely the Krishna consciousness. So my dear devotees, when we understand the gratefulness of Krishna and the heartwarming gratefulness of Krishna and the heartwarming gratefulness of Srila Prabhupada to the services which we rendered, we should witness a birth in our heart. This witness of a birth must happen in the life of a devotee, that his own or her own gratefulness becomes more and more born, comes more and more out. Queen Kunti said you can measure the greatness of someone's character, if he has a character, in how grateful he is, how able he is or she is to be grateful. That is a sign of character, to be grateful. It's important for us as devotees to be grateful to the blessings which we have obtained by Lord Krishna and by his dear devotee Srila Prabhupada. It's a very important character eigenschaft. My dear devotees, there is a barrier to gratefulness, and that barrier happens in all of our lives when we come to the wall. I would like to say two little philosophical points now, which will require your full attention. It's two points which I have observed the last year, and I would like to bring them in the beginning of this year. I have noted, and I have asked myself, how could it happen, what happened to the leader of our yatra? I met him again, our GBC leader, who did excellent service in the past in the New York's Ratha Yatra, and I was studying very carefully with whatever little spiritual intuition I have and knowledge of psychology which I have obtained in my life and so on. How could it happen that he did so much service and then was really not grateful any longer to Srila Prabhupada? And how? And I'm continuously studying also a phenomena. How does it happen on the other side that young devotees who are not spiritually so advanced, can't be, are so enthusiastic, so grateful, so austere? What is happening? How does it happen that sometimes when devotees get old, when I get older, I begin to turn apathetic towards the mercy? How is this? And after speaking with many devotees about this question, I came to a very interesting speculation, philosophical speculation. which I wish to share with you. Hare Krishna. By the way, mental speculation is not good, but to take the philosophy and try to apply it in order to understand our life is a justified action of the inquisitive mind. Hare Krishna. Listen very carefully and see if you can underline this or if you are against this. I sincerely think that a devotee who starts with his or her spiritual advancement often takes the benefit from a previous life. Yesham tvantagatam papam jnananam punya karmanam. Rupa Goswami says it's very, very rare that a person goes back to Godhead in one life. He takes usually the benefits of a previous life, which when he comes to Krishna consciousness, immediately begin to act on him and push him forward to the place where he was in his last life. Then, all of a sudden, with a threatening height, a wall appears.
most properly the ball, which appeared in his previous life. And now the question is, what now? Or in better English, what now? What will you do now? I would like to give you an example which has been given. The example of Srila Bilvamangala Thakur, who was very astute. He was very wealthy, and he acted in many ways in his life as a rich man's son. But he was very, very much attracted to sexual enjoyment. Very much. I do not know if we will be able to feel like Bilvamangala Thakur. There was a problem, an obsessive problem, obsessive behavior structures were there. He was one day performing the funeral rituals of his father, but in the midst of it, it came. Sexual attraction landed in his heart, and he couldn't bring this funeral ceremony to the natural end. In the midst of it, he left to Chintamani, the prostitute. Now, we have heard this story many times. It is a favorite story in ISKCON lectures, and I do not wish to repeat all the details here, because you know them. If not, you can ask your neighbor later. After struggling really hard, he comes to the house of Chintamani, and Chintamani opens the door and sees Bilvamangala. By now his dress is torn, he is wet, his hair is all over the place. And she asked the very obvious question, what do you want? At this time, it was a rainy night. Bilvamangala answers, your association, of course. Now, at this moment, something happens. Chintamani says, oh, Bilvamangala, if with the same determination which you use for the fleet, to enjoy the fleeting sense pleasures, you would go on the path of self-realization, you would be self-realized by now. That's not all what happens. At this moment, dear devotees, listen to this mystical event. A window opens into the past. And he sees, for a fraction of a second, his own spiritual master, Somagiri, who in his past life said exactly the same words, O Bilvamangala! If with the same determination which you use for obtaining these fleeting sense enjoyments, you would actually work for your self-realization, you would be self-realized by now. You know, this was strong. I imagine this would happen to me if I'm, somewhere in another life, playing around on some ocean, and all of a sudden someone says something to me, and I recognize Srila Prabhupada speaking through that person. I see his picture calling me back on the road. I would be very, very intense. Bilvamangala forgot about a romantic night on that evening and went to Vrindavan, where he actually ultimately met Lord Krishna. On the way to Vrindavan, he again met a beautiful woman. He again fell in love. He was ready to dive into the ocean of the fruits of her body. But before it happened, before the sensuality started, he understood his addictive pattern, and asked her for the needles of her hair, and then mutilated herself. He cut his eyes. You might ask yourself, why was Bilvamangala so cruel?
I mean, it is a big act to mutilate yourself. You must have a lot of willpower to do it, to pierce your eyes. Why was he, you must understand, he was emotionally extremely stirred up because he understood, here it is again, the old wall again, the wall which I could not pass in the previous life. It is again before me, and I want to cross it now. And then he, in this way, it is maybe not an activity which we should do, but it brings out, you know, his extreme, how do you say, maybe hopelessness in the face of the wall, and his extreme, how do you say, desire to finally cross it. My dear devotees, you all will come to the wall. I see so many young faces, beautiful. I'm envious of your youth, of your youthful dancing, and your tremendous abilities to eat prasadam and distribute books. But rest assured, the wall will come. Like it has come for all of us older people. And as Preeti Prabhu has really nicely described, you know, that what is the difference between the old guys and the those who are still there and those who have not left. It's, in my eyes, not necessarily that we are more glorious, more intelligent, more determined or whatever. It's just that we have seen the wall and we have understood, oops, now is my call. The other thing was children's play. Now comes the wall. And then we go through it. So many people in so many religions, so many speak about this, the dark night of the soul, when it's no longer easy sailing. Srila Prabhupada has also spoken about this at several times. To cross through the wall, to bulldoze through it, is not an easy matter, but it is possible. And I very much believe that if a devotee turns in that moment to Krishna, calling out, Krishna, please help. This time, do not let me go away. Don't kick me away. I have come here to your lotus feet. Please, but please now help me to go through this. At that moment, you will get the necessary strength. That wall, you cannot cross on your own. There are many things which you can do with a little determination, if you are a mentally stable person and not psychologically challenged, you can do certain things and go through certain things. But when it comes to these obstacles, you require help. Ultimately, the help of God, but also the help of the devotees. This is a strong thought I would like to offer to all of you. There are many more subjects, but I will now draw to the close so that Preeti Prabhu and myself can answer your question, any relevant questions. I would really like to say one other very, very nice observation which I have had. I must really confess to you, I'm extremely moved or inspired to see so many of you who are missionary workers, who are in the Sankirtan mission. Like other devotees who came to this festival, I really didn't expect such a big group of devotees. And I really see it as a sign that we are on our way up again in this zone or or yes zone. I really wish that to impress upon you that we should come to a very wonderful and dynamic time of spreading Krishna consciousness. The future of Krishna consciousness is really at the moment in those hands of those devotees who rise to the responsibility, who are grateful to what Srila Prabhupada and Krishna has given to them, and who are willing to jump into it. I really wish to in this way extend my great gratitude to my sympathetic and learned neighbor, Prithu Prabhu, who came at a time when really the German Yatra was in a difficult situation, and we were actually in the process of losing the farm. It was really, no one was ready to steal the spoil, and he kept it on. I want to also extend my great gratitude to my dear God brother Krishna Chetra Prabhu, who although studying and going into into what Prabhupada always wished his devotees to become contributors to the intellectual world where they contribute Krishna conscious subject, I want to thank Krishna Chetra, who although having such a demanding work to become a PhD and this jumped in and preaches and also gave his energy to this farm community and to many other places where he visits is very important. But I do not wish to limit this observation to devotees like Prithu Prabhu, Krishna Chetra Prabhu, Manidhara Prabhu, who is also one of the old generals, there are many others. I really wish to extend this now to you. You are the upcoming generation. We are the growing, the outgoing generation. Not hopefully by leaving Krishna consciousness, but by old age. By graying hairs, by sciatic problems, Ischias Probleme sagt man dazu in Deutsch, and so on. You please take this responsibility very serious of this mission, and no, you're not just doing a Zeitvertreib, something on the corner, on the side. You're actually helping to bring Gaudiya Vaishnavism into the Western civilization, which becomes more ready to accept the noble truth of Krishna consciousness. It becomes ever more ready, and so on. Prithu Prabhu told me this morning how one of his disciples talked to a minister president. Also in Golokadam, the Bundestagsabgeordnete, that's a high-ranking position in the German parliament, came and was so impressed that she promised to help us come into the school and preach there. So people are getting ready because the material world is going down. Do you? They are, it's the opposite movement. It's always world moves in dualities. Yes, correctly confirmed. So I really wish to. But here we need to know, for going into the future, a very necessary paradigm needs to be adopted by us, a subject matter which both has been the subject of discussions between Prithu Prabhu and myself. It is an increased sense of cooperation. There's something to be said about competition. Which is in the genetic codexes of the Americans, like anything, and the Germans also, I suppose. is something which Prabhupada used in order to bring his movement very quickly to a very substantial frontier. He said, what is the good of you being Americans if you do not do something something what? Wonderful, wonderful. He, you know, directly got on that nerve. You are Americans. You please use your Americanness and so on. You know, it's not that he was so extremely seriously impressed by America and its behaviors. It was just he was using something. When Western people who go into a competition, they are in a danger, and Prabhupada often had to correct his rivaling disciples, that they go against each other, like in a boxing competition, we know of bowling competitions and so on. We must be very careful to use this very powerful incentive for a conditioned soul in a way that it does not get out of hand. And out of hand means when there is not cooperation but going against each other. I really wish to make this point, and I'm myself very more and more aware, because I, as you all know, I'm not a saint at all. I sometimes have done many things wrong on this area. It is very, very important that from the youngest to the oldest devotees, just we understand competition we will use in a loving way, but our main idea, and that we should never forget, the competition is not the main idea of Krishna consciousness, although sometimes it has maybe appeared like this. Main idea is loving service to devotees, and which is the basis. Vaishnav Seva is not Vaishnav fighting. Vaishnav Seva is the basis of Mahaprabhu's whole line of spirituality, if you so wish. So, yeah, here comes the voice of enlightenment. Srila Prabhupada said, your love will not be shown by how much you compete with each other. He didn't use that word. He said, your love will be shown by how much you cooperate. This is something which we need to practice on all levels of our movement. And we need to search our hearts and throw out the demon of enviousness or of I want to be better than you, and so on, and really go into the school of loving Vaishnav service. That will also give us the strength, or wie Johannes Rau gesagt hat, how our German president just said, that will give us the warmth. The river of worms will stream through our lives, which will encourage and empower us to do these things. Let me summarize. I wanted to talk today about Krishna's gratefulness to his devotees in all places where the devotees happen to be, and in all times. Even Krishna doesn't forget past lives, but to speak of past services which devotees have done. I wanted to talk also about the gratefulness of Srila Prabhupada, and I wanted to hint out to you, as you now will go into the school of showing gratefulness, you will come pang to the wall of your own conditionings, your own irrational fears to surrender, maybe your own irrational objections to surrender, your own material attachments, and so on. But don't be surprised if this happens, even if it happens when you're a little older in Krishna consciousness. It will happen. But at that time, no, now it's time. Good. Finally it came, super. Now I will go through this, but I cannot go on my own. I must now really take shelter both in Lord Krishna and
the devotees around me. Only then it will be possible to cross or break on through to the wall. Here seems to be an enlightenment from break on through to the other side. Kinder. This is something. Please let us really go into a wonderful future. Already there are discussions of making a wonderful Nishinga Chaturthi at this farm. I really feel we should try to all meet at Lord Nishingadev's lotus feet at Nishinga, coming Nishinga Chaturthi, to look in our lives, to again dance and discuss and think deeply, and bring our service results to Lord Nishingadev. Read to him our scores of books distributed and so on, and come and learn more, and also come together to feel this togetherness, then to go out strengthened. There's also discussions amongst us older devotees to make some nice festivals in Germany. I do not wish to now say any particular festivals, because then you will be, we will first have to discuss them, but for sure, please all come to at Jamashtami time to Radha Madan Mohan. This is very important, and we hope that our Prita Prabhu will have time also to come. He just came here from India. I do not know if you know. He went really out of his way to come. And it's very important that you are here, Prita Prabhu. So it's very important that we work on it. If it doesn't almost always work on the first instance, also wenn es nicht gleich klappt, zu Deutsch gesagt, don't give up your hope, but or your thing. Go again through the wall. Approach it again. One day it will fall. If we support each other, then our individual walls will fall. Okay, so I don't want to talk more now. Now I would request all of you to search your minds and hearts for relevant questions which are here in the crowd, and Prita Prabhu and myself will try our best to serve you in answering them. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaunitai ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadeva ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Well, we have no personal opinions really on walls. Our opinion is Srila Prabhupada's opinion and the opinion of the acharyas. We know what's right and wrong simply by referring to our scriptures and to our acharyas. Walls mean that we start to have our own concoctions, our own ideas. That's where the wall starts. The wall is I, me and mine. The Berlin Wall is in the head. So if you look at wars, if you look at conflicts, if you look at arguments, it's all in the head. It has nothing to do with reality. The reality is we are souls and we are parts of Krishna. And how to act as a soul is sufficiently described in scriptures and in the words of the acharyas. But when we deviate from that, then we create the walls between us and others, between us and Krishna first, and then between us and others. That is the thing. So in Krishna consciousness, there are no walls. The walls are in material consciousness. So the idea is that in the material world, everybody is so obsessed by his personal opinion. But we should not be interested in our personal opinion, because personal opinions are so, it doesn't mean anything. We want to know what is the verdict of the acharya, what is truth. We determine by Guru, Shastra and Sangha, not by what we think. When we start thinking, Prabhupada one time told Rohini Nandan, if you don't know, don't talk about it. if you don't know. So the wall is something we develop in our own heads. Let's search what Prabhupada said, let's search what Krishna says, let's search what the Vedic scriptures say, what the Acharyas say, and there will be no walls. The wall is concocted. It's self-imposed. Like take, for example, mundane religion. Somebody develops his own religion. Mundane religion means somebody had an idea, basically speaking. Well, he's building a wall towards others. He puts forward his personal opinion as being absolute, and this way he cuts himself off from the rest of the world. So it's in his head. Mundane religion, there's no realities to it. It just exists in the heads of people. The birds cannot understand. They fly over a Catholic church, fly over a temple. They can't see the difference. In Northern Ireland, the birds, the bees, the cows, they had no idea that people what they were all fighting about. And people went up to us and said, "Are you?" We were distributing books on the street. "Are you Catholic?" they would ask us. "Or are you Protestant?" We said, "No, we are Catholics and Protestants. We are Hare Krishnas." He said, no. "That's not my question. My question is, are you Catholic or Protestant?" He said, "Well, neither nor. We are Hare Krishnas." He said, "Well, then tell me, are you a Catholic, Hare Krishna, or a Protestant?" So it's just in the heads of people. There's no reality to it. It's just bizarre. So everything outside of Krishna is just like Sachinanda Maharaj just said, it's verrückt. It's crazy. Nonsense. The nonsense exists only in the heads of people. There's absolutely no reality to it.
How do you develop Vaishnava etiquette when there seem to be conflicts or even different national conditionings clash with each other? There's a very interesting basis of cooperation. It is an equal vision. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says how a pandit, a man of knowledge, can see with an equal eye both a cow, an elephant, a dog, and also the dog eater. He has an equal eye. In other places, Lord Krishna talks about how a devotee is equal and undisturbed both to his friend and also to a neutral party. And also, and here is most difficult, and I think it comes here in an area where you are thinking, towards someone who acts in this life almost like an enemy or almost like a person who bears conflict with him. I really think the first step at that time in order to quell this, to overcome it, is this is a very simple equal vision that, oh, he is a devotee of Krishna, a part and parcel of Krishna, who has now a mentality which I do not understand. I think this type of graciousness needs to be extended by a spiritual person. We like to see what is common and not focus so much on the differences. Now, when this devotee, and the second step would be when this devotee consistently acts in a way which is extremely difficult for you to maintain your mental composure and so on. You must see how you can address this in a Vaishnav way. The natural way is to first go to a devotee who is maybe a superior to this particular devotee and whose opinion the devotee can appreciate, with whom you have conflict. If you immediately enter the wrestling arena of opinions with him, there may not be so much success. But if another devotee who is respected by that particular devotee you have difficulties with, if you talk to him and say, "Is my perspective all right, or is maybe I see something wrong? And if it is all right, would you be so kind to maybe mention to the devotee to something?" If this doesn't work, you have to I feel, address very respectfully the devotee by saying, my dear devotee, when you do so and so, this is what happens in my life. I'm totally unable. Don't accuse him, but tell him what goes on in you. This is a communication secret. If I have problems with Mr. X, I do not know who is Mr. X. I just give a. If I tell Mr. X, you are your smell from the mouse is particularly irritating to me, and what you said on the other day is so much reminiscent to the Nazi past of Germany that it really is a pathological statement which you made. There will be war. But if you say to Mr. X, I am a little overly sensitive to smell. I'm suffering greatly, and my self-composure breaks into pieces, and I come from a liberal past, and this statement is also extremely... I lose my thing and think of leaving Krishna consciousness when I hear this. Then he is more willing to listen, because you're not presenting it as his problem, but as your problem. And everyone is interested in the other's problem, never in his own, or rarely. That is a simple rule of communication. But the real thing, I think, which we need, is to see equally. I must confess to you something totally controversial. I really was very moved when doing my research for a book called There Is No Death. There was one man in Algeria. He was a Christian priest who became a victim of Islamic Muslim fundamentalism. Many tourists had already been killed, and he felt, soon they are coming after me. This man was later found. His head was cut off by the Muslim fundamentalists, he had died like he had thought. What they also found was a letter to the murderer who killed him. And the letter said, "Oh, man of my last hour, I so much wish to see you with the eyes of our beloved Father, who sees all of us as his children." Wonderful, if you think about it, how God sees us when we quarrel. He sees our my children, or you know, Krishna, or here, Krishna's devotees. They are all my devotees. Why are they quarreling? Prabhupada, how he said, "My disciples, why are they quarreling?" It's a different perspective which they have. So I think this vision of equality.